welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the single cheese head. The single sliced American cheese head.
Kraft single. No.
Well, you can't say the first word.
Yeah. Well, I was also going to say I shouldn't have said it anyway because they're not paying us to talk about them. So,
yeah.
Fuck. Let's start over. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the single-sliced American cheese head.
Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes.
Yes, indeedy. Lemon cheesy. Today, we're talking about crafting systems. So we're just going to talk about kind of what makes a good one and pontificate on what we would include in R1 slash what we did include in one that I made.
Yeah. Feel like this is a natural follow-up to the previous episode where we mostly kind of excoriated the idea of tracking resources and crafting components are oftentimes a resource. So
they do be a resource.
Yeah, we're following up on that conversation. We have some thoughts, and we have some experiences to share.
Yes. So, first off, we're going to talk about a good crafting system.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to go into the purpose of a crafting system / crafted items, tracking those resources of which can be so hindering.
Yep.
The balance aspects of a crafting system. And then we're going to talk about, finish up with an example from one of our games.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about, what we liked and what we change.
Yes, so, sir.
A good crafting system. Well, what does it consist of? It consists of resources. And we kind of broke this down fairly basically. It could be broken down further. It could be... Yeah, whatever, but...
Well, kind of two ideas here, right, of resources, right? There's your basic components crafting system.
Right.
Which, like, is your elements, if you will.
I like that.
They make up all things, so they're very general resources. They have weird names, like iron. You can use iron for a lot of different things.
And then there's, you know, specific components, which in the parlance of this example, we're calling molecules. So, you know, a number of elements combined in a configuration.
They're already in their base configuration, right? A molecule of water.
Right.
Right. You don't need to gather.
Water is multiple elements in one thing. Yeah.
Right, in this specific component system, you don't need to gather your hydrogen and oxygens to make water, to use water to do something. You have water that's as like granular as you can get. But you can use water to make alcohol, oil, whatever, right? Whatever you're crafting. Right, we think that's a good generalization. It should be one or the other. It shouldn't
probably
be both.
Yeah. Because if you're,
that's
you,
just adding
if you're
an
doing
extra step.
Both, you're kind of creating two crafting systems.
Right.
If you're doing, you know, if you're doing both where there's like, there are complex crafting resources and basic crafting resources, then you gotta collect the basic ones to make the complex ones
to actually
craft anything. And there are plenty of video games about like survival and crafting and resource gathering that do that and stack those systems on top of each other. But we're talking about a crafting system.
An ideal crafting system.
That we would enjoy in a pen and paper.
A good crafting system for a pen and paper, right? So it's going to use one of those two types of resources, right? Not both.
Yeah.
The next thing, you got to think about the utility of the crafted items, right? There's no reason to craft useless items, is what we're saying here.
Right.
A la Witcher 3. Has a huge, robust crafting system.
Yeah. Which I honestly
hate. Fucking
overload. I hate it with all my heart.
Overload like a motherfucker.
Yeah. There are so many things, just like wandering through the hillside that you can just pick up, and it goes into your inventory as crafting components, and there's so many crafting recipes, and it is the kind of system we were talking about, where like you take, you know, basic materials, plants and rock and metal, and you turn that into slightly more complex stuff, and then you can use that to create more complex things that, unless you're playing on a hard difficulty, unless you're playing on Death March, they really don't affect you that much, and I question that system's inclusion in the final version of the game.
Mm-hmm. Right, so useful and versatile is what you're going for in a good crafting system.
Mm.
Useful because they have a purpose and like help solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Versatile is you don't need, like in Witcher 3, you don't need a goddamn oil for every specific beast thing.
Yeah.
Right? Just like, here's sword oil for killing.
Yeah.
Here's sword oil for magic or whatever. Magic damage. Right? That's all you need. You don't need 10,000 fucking plants.
Yeah. Multiple different oils for every type of monster you might fight is... ugh.
Yeah. Alright, off the soapbox of the Witcher 3 thing, though.
It's a good game. It's really cool.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Just like,
we enjoy it.
I play it on a difficulty level where I don't have to engage with that system.
Yeah. So, good crafting system has general base components that you use to craft all things.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you craft are useful or versatile. Or, you have a specific component thing, crafting resource, that you use to make very specific things that are also useful and versatile.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we think, at least. So, the purpose of crafted items, right? Let's get into that utility aspect of it.
Yeah.
There's a couple different, purposes, and these can be, you know, you can have all of these at the same time. These aren't exclusive.
Right. You could craft an item that serves all these purposes, but these are purposes that they could serve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first one, upgrades. Upgrading your stuff. This mm-hmm. is a great...
use of crafting.
Yeah, this is a great use of the concept of crafting in role-playing. You want to improve your gear. You want to make it a little better. You want to make it perform a little bit differently. Really resonant, probably, video game examples. Fallout 4 had a really robust gear crafting system that, while it involved you picking up a lot of trash and mm-hmm. then, fast traveling back to deposit it and then going back again, it was really cool and I felt like really rewarding and satisfying to, build the gun that you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You had control over the way it looked, and you could adapt it to your playstyle, and that kind of rocked.
Right, and like in addition to making a gun, you could also put alternate functions on it and do that, and like upgrade armor, and like this armor is more resistant against energy weapons. Mm-hmm. This armor is more resistant against kinetic.
This armor has pockets.
This armor has pockets. So, Cosmo mentioned you had to pick up a lot of stuff.
Yep.
Fallout 4 used a basic component thing where your junk could be broken down into these general, items that didn't weigh anything. Well, they weighed some stuff, but whatever.
They weighed decimals.
Don't need to get into it. But you used the same things.
There were molecules out in the world, and you could break them down.
Yeah, to build up your upgrades.
Yeah,
right. Same. Well, Skyrim, I would say we use this specific components thing, right? Mm-hmm. If you have a weapon, specific component A, you could have an ingot of ore and make that weapon better, right? You don't need to go out and build the weapon first, or whatever, or smelt the ore. Sure, is that like basic components? I think it's more specific. We don't need to dissect Skyrim's thing.
Mm.
The point is, they're general upgrades and general gear, and so you can make stuff, you can make potions. Like Elder Scrolls has a great alchemy, or what I think, at least compared to The Witcher 3.
There was less stuff to pick up, and there was a lot more utility to do more with less. Yeah. Yeah, you pick up less different shit, and the stuff you could make was... There was a lot of it, and it had, you know, it had actual applicable uses that I enjoyed in the... Especially in the context... For some reason, it really worked there in the context of a medieval fantasy role-playing game. You could craft drugs in Fallout as well. There was a chemistry system. But anyway.
So, in a pen and paper role-playing system, this would look more like utility and equipments. I wouldn't go into like making your own weapons in a pen and paper system. I would say base weapons are something you loot or buy, and then you can improve them.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't. I would say going down the road of like, well, you need a pummel and a sword hilt and a blade, to craft a sword. That's too much in a pen and paper, I would say.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to run that. I might enjoy engaging with that as a player, but knowing what it would be asking of my game master, I wouldn't ask for it. And as a game master, I wouldn't enjoy fucking with it.
So the thing that you're going for, or we think that you're shooting for in a pen and paper role-playing game, are like upgrades to current gear and like utility items, like a med kit. Like, oh, you need this many medical supplies to craft a med kit, right? Then it gets into that, you know, what are those medical supplies built up? Are you on a specific components program, or are you on a base components program? Right? One or the other, though, you could craft a med kit. It gives you a bonus to first aid rolls or something, right? There's that utility, right? That's a kind of a general thing. Another purpose...
Could be unlocking new territories, area. Certain areas are environmentally prohibitive somehow, right? And you got to craft something to overcome that.
Right. This works. It's a little just easier in a video game setting, right? You know, because the map is already preset and etc. But you can do this in a pen and paper role playing game pretty easy by just like making it the key point of a session.
Yeah.
Be like, your quest that you're on takes you over these mountains.
Yeah.
To get over these mountains, you're gonna need some gear, stuff. Right. Yeah.
And yeah, Breath of the Wild had a interesting temperature mechanic where, you know, if you weren't dressed for the environment you were in, it would start to punish you. And so you needed to get some cold weather gear, and you could craft, you know, you could buy some stuff as well, but you could craft outfits out of supplies that you scavenged or hunted in the world, right? And then, you know, when you're wearing cold weather gear, cool. You can just go through this environment without being punished by it.
Right. And it's not to say that you can't do things in cold weather environments without the proper gear. It's just harder, more chance of getting fucked up. Right? So, like, might not be necessary to, like, go through this territory without the gear, but it will make it a lot easier and less dangerous.
Yeah.
Another one, right, another purpose for crafted items, right, are to solve very specific problems, right? So it's kind of akin to unlocking a new territory, but, like, much more one-time usey rather than like, yeah, I put on my cold jacket. It's more like we need a specific bomb.
Right. In order to, yeah.
And or in The Witcher 3.
Well, The Witcher 3 is, I think it's a really good example of what we're talking about here, because the times where The Witcher 3 asks you to do this are the times where it's like, oh, this is cool. Versus, you know, when the crafting system was just there all the time and there was so much bullshit in my inventory all the time, and, you know, just a system I really didn't want to engage with. But then there's like a quest where in order to do this quest, you need to brew the killer whale potion so that you can breathe underwater for a little while in order to go to this underwater cave to get the thing that is part of the quest, whatever. And I kind of wish that the crafting system had just barely been in the game until those moments where it was like, you need to craft this. And then it was just like, these are the three objectives for this quest. And in order to do them, here's a list of crafting components. So now go get those crafting components. And they're not things that you could just always pick up. They're things that are only a thing when that quest is important, active. Right?
Yeah. Which gets back to what we were saying last episode, right? Track things that are important when they're important.
Yeah.
And then don't do it otherwise, right? Which brings up the whole problem of, like, you know, the players, you know, feeling like you're putting one over on them because it's like, oh, well, to do this mission, you need firewood to make signal fires. You're on the top of the mountain above tree line, so you guys are going to have to figure this one out. And they're like, well, we hiked through a forest to get here. Why didn't you tell us that? We would have picked up some firewood.
Yeah.
See, that's not the point, though. The point is, solve the problem.
The point is, yeah, in this situation, you need this.
Right, because I don't want to be tracking firewood for the rest of the life of this campaign.
Right.
I just want it to be a fun thing this one time.
Yeah.
And then we're over it. So, that's a specific problem use.
Like, or infrequent. Yeah.
Yeah, infrequent.
It's, and, yeah, I, there must have been one. I never engaged with the, like, the oils on your sword. But I think there was, there were a couple of quests where it just made you do that before you started the combat encounter. And that I wouldn't have minded if that was all it was. If there was no crafting except
when it was necessary.
When it was part of a thing. And then it was just part of the story that you made this specific, you know, that you made this specific bait or oil or potion or bomb as part of this quest. And the idea that, you know, Geralt knows how to do that, and he is this, you know, well-knowledged outdoorsman and crafting person who can do this when the quest asks for it, but then just gut it. Like, get it out of the game outside of those encounters.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously, listeners, we are adults, so, like, we just chose not to engage with it, and it did it really ruin the experience?
No. Didn't.
But they could have used that, like, time that they spent on that fucking crafting system to make the horse better or something like that. Right? So, in a role-playing, pen and paper role-playing context, you focus on it when it needs to be a thing, and then you are free to think about other things and devote your brain energy to better served aspects of the game.
Right.
Right. If you're not fucking around with resources all the time.
Which you, if you haven't been listening to our show for a while, I'll reiterate it now. What we think it's about is about, you know, sharing a dramatic experience together and pretending, shared pretending together. And nothing kills that more than a, you know,
a drag,
a list, like, of things counting, that you got to count and keep track of and do, you know, abstract math about.
And get yourself a spreadsheet to keep track of everything.
Outside of actually pretending as a, you know, guy with a sword or whatever.
So, very similar to what we were just talking about, like story beats, right? Like, that can be a great purpose for a crafting.
It started to become this point.
Right, yeah.
What we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, similar to, like, unlocking new territory and specific problems, right? Like, The Witcher 3, some missions were like, we're going to walk you through crafting the killer whale potion because you need it for this quest.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we're talking about. Like, these story beats where it's an important thing to craft only because, like, the objective is to get past this obstacle or, you know, door. Like, Resident Evil does a great job of this as well, specifically Resident Evil 7, right? That's the
creepy house in the bayou.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where, like, doesn't necessarily unlock new territory, because like you've been walking around this house forever, mm-hmm. but like it gets you a step closer to your goal when mm-hmm. you find all the components to craft the, like, I don't know, spyglass or something, right? Right.
Really, yeah. Specific use, but mm-hmm. crafting. And a through line through this, you'll probably notice, is in general we're leaning more towards just, like, narrative. This is more like what you would find in a book versus, you mm-hmm. know, what you would find in a crafting survival video game. We generally speaking, think that crafting in a pen and paper game should be less like a crafting video game and more like what a character does in a novel to solve a problem.
Right. So, like, this purpose definitely uses the, like, specific components resource for crafting. You can't get past the problem just because you picked up every piece of junk
right
along the way. You need to have specific components.
You need to have the lens and the case that come together to make a spyglass, mm-hmm. and then you use the spyglass to, you know, solve the thing. You can't do that with, you know,
iron and, and sand.
Right.
Any other purposes or anything we should hit?
Purposes to
purpose.
It. I think there is one more purpose, and we should give it a little bit of airtime. It's in service of the player's agency. In a pen and paper game, to, you know, to give them access to this whatever kind of crafting system you end up using or coming up with. Because of the general upgrades and the unlock new territory stuff, if a player wants to do something like that, especially if they articulate to you specifically what they want to do, what they want to make, then you want to accommodate them, and you want to let them be like, okay, yeah, you can, if you, you know, you spend some time hunting and, you know, harvesting this component in order to make this cool thing that you had an idea for. You want to be able to let them do cool stuff when they come to you with an idea that they think would be cool. That is a purpose that a crafting system can serve.
Right. So that, I feel like that would fall under, like, the general upgrades, with a caveat of being,
it's,
like,
yes,
it's only there because it's been specifically requested.
Mm-hmm.
So you, like, keep track of it because it's important, but once that item is made,
oh yeah,
you're done.
Yeah, yeah. Then yeah, you don't have to worry. But I'm saying including a crafting system versus saying no, there's no crafting. There's mm-hmm. you know, that. The value of including a crafting system at all is
right.
You know,
and I think if
players might like it. Players might be asking for something that, you know, they would need a crafting system to do.
And if you've listened to the last episode and this episode, I think that will be an easy thing to accommodate. Because you keep in mind that, like, you're only keeping track of it because it's important,
mm-hmm.
right? You're not going to keep keeping track of it after the craft has been crafted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's going to be a specific component or a general thing, so it's like, okay, to craft that item that you want, like, oh, that's a really cool item. I think having a drone is a dope thing.
Yeah.
Right? To craft that drone, you're going to need the basic components of, like, this many electronics, this many, like, you know, plastic bits to fit the frame together. Or you could be like, all right, you need propellers, a case, a circuit board, and a battery, right? Those four things. When you get those four things, you can put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a great purpose. Is something specific that the players asked for. Let's keep going on the keeping track thing.
Okay.
Right. So, whatever purpose your crafting system serves, you got to keep track of some resources, right?
Yeah.
Unlikely that the crafting system will be like, oh, well, like, if you want it, then you just do a crafting roll, right? Because then what purpose? That's not really a crafting system. That's just, or give you what you want if you roll good.
Yeah.
Which isn't the, you know, there's some validity in that, I think, but not great, I would say. Because then what happens when they fail the roll?
Right. Just don't get it.
Right. Oh, try again next time.
Yeah.
Kind of lame.
And if they're doing it in a, you know, in a portion of the session or like an in-between session, because like, would be allowed. What if I texted you as my game master and be like, hey, so in the time between this session and next session, a few days have gone by, right? Can I just keep rolling until I get it? Like, how many times can I try?
Yeah.
And if it's tied to a dice roll and failure is a possibility, like, should failure even be a possibility?
Mm-hmm.
If time's not an issue, then it really shouldn't, right?
Right.
Unless, I guess, there is a, you know, you could destroy your crafting components.
Yeah.
Doing a bad job.
Well, I think that's, and we don't have it anywhere on the outline. I think that's a good road to go down. Where does the roll come into play? The dice roll come into play in these systems. I think instead of basing it 100% on the roll, right? If you're bothering tracking components in any manner, there should be a point where there's no roll required. Maybe it's just time.
Yeah.
Like, if you have 2 free hours, you can put this thing together. Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, something on your character sheet that says, you know, you can. Like, the backgrounds in D&D we've talked about a few times before. You know, if I have, like, a tools proficiency, I've got brewer's tools, mm-hmm. whatever, then you shouldn't make me roll. Especially right. if we're spending time in town or in the off time between sessions to, you know, mm-hmm. to brew up some beer or whatever, or to, you know, make a potion with the instructions. Like, you really shouldn't be rolling for that, because...
Right, you should... If you have the tools to do it, the time and the components, then...
It's done.
It's nothing, yeah. right? So I think start from that base, like, or that finish line of, if you have all the components and you have a certain amount of time to put them together,
mm-hmm.
no roll required. The roll comes into play when you don't have all three of those things. Two of those things? Components and time? Yeah.
I think a proficiency is part of that. Because, like, you could be a character who's like, I want to make a cool new gun, and I've got all the stuff for it in whatever... Mm-hmm. In whatever form the materials take that you've decided, right? And you're like, would your character know anything about how to build a new gun? Well, no. And we're like, okay, you still get it for free just if you find somebody, you know, to do it for you. So I think there is maybe a gate of proficiency that just, like, where they're asking to do something that they couldn't know how to do. They're like, I got the materials for it, but do you know how to do that? I think that's fair. So the three things, the components, the time, and a reasonable proficiency in terms of...
I think the reasonable efficiency is very loose, though.
Mm.
I would agree.
It'd be very loose. You could be like, well, another character in my party, they kind of know. We're like, okay, mm-hmm. yeah, then the two of you do it, and now you have it.
I think it is a question that needs to be asked, and as long as the player gives a reasonable answer,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of a, you know, keeping honest people honest kind of deal.
Right.
Like, I would be fine if the player was like, yeah, my character knows how to do it. And I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, well, fine. Right. You said so.
Right. But if, you know, if I was running D&D and one of my players was playing, you know, like a wizard and very smart and, you know, a bunch of stuff. And they're like, I can get all these components. I can get the rare earth metals, and I can transmogrify stuff into plastic. Like, why can't I make a Game Boy? I'm like, well, because you don't know.
Your character doesn't know what a Game Boy does. Right.
You don't know what that is. You don't have any of the context for how those things would fit together to create the thing that you're thinking yeah. of. that's where I'm thinking there's got to be some cutoff with the proficiency.
I mean, I would love to see a wizard in D&D make a Game Boy. I'd be very curious to see what the player does.
It could be a very cool idea. You got to ask, does your character actually know how to do that? Would they have any idea of how to put those together into the thing that you're describing?
Yeah, I think it's a question worth asking.
Mm-hmm.
So, on that vein of knowing how to put all the components together, right? So, for example, the wizard with the Game Boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that... what tools are they going to use? Where are they keeping those resources?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Are they just walking around with a sack that has all the Game Boy components in them?
Right.
And, waiting to find the right molds and, a soldering iron?
Yeah.
So I think that's a very important consideration in a crafting system, right?
Right. Where are they going to do the crafting?
Mm-hmm.
What tools are they going to use? And where do they keep the stuff for it? The Fallout games, well, specifically Fallout 4, really robust with the settlement system, and you put your stuff into your settlement inventory, and the idea is that it's in all the drawers, it's in your workbench.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. If it were to come up in this space adventure that we've started, I would say it's your spaceship, unless you specifically say that you're going to unload some stuff somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
On your spaceship, if you want to try and craft something, wait till you get back to the spaceship. I'm not going to let you do it.
Right, because the spaceship has a machine shop with a bunch of different tools that'll probably make anything, right?
Right. But I'm not going to let you, craft a new gun to solve a specific problem in the middle of, an asteroid dungeon.
Well, I mean, I think you might be able to field strip and reconfigure a gun.
Okay.
I was going to say, rocket booster. Right, mm-hmm. I know how we solve this problem is I'll make a quick fucking rocket booster out of, I'm carrying all this shit for rocket boosters. Right. Where do you get the tools for that?
Right. That stuff is not on your person. Mm-hmm. It's not in your pocket. It's in the cargo hold.
I don't think I finished my thought. We kind of jumped real quickly. My thought about the rolling and where the rolling comes
into play. Okay. Yeah,
so... asking that question, how are you going to build this rocket booster? You're on a fucking, moon with no atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
and you got no tools. You might have the components to do this,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have the time. You don't have you don't have good tools. But maybe your character is just fucking lucky and good,
mm-hmm.
right? Roll me. So I think the roll comes into play. You have a finish line. If you were on your ship. And you had all the components, you have all the tools, and you have time.
You get
and the know-how.
Right.
Right? If you don't have all of those three things, the know-how, tools, and components, then that's where the role comes into play. It's maybe you just get fucking lucky.
Okay. I think that's a good answer to the question. When do you roll, can mm-hmm. players roll for this? I think yes... they can, and when they do is, when they don't have one of those things.
Yeah, and probably sliding scale, the less of those you have, the harder it is, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't have the time or the tools, it's going to be really hard.
Right.
Right.
If you don't have the components for it...
almost impossible.
You can't even try. What are you going to... you're going to build a rocket booster out of just sand? No.
You can't.
Well, can you do a spell? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you have a spell. I don't know. But yeah, so that's why I'd say where the role comes into play is you start with your finish line and work back.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Balance.
Yeah.
Want to talk about balance?
Yes. Balancing.
Because crafting systems in a pen and paper RPG are a great way to ruin balance.
Yeah.
Video games, those systems are all built off of the balance system already, and all that math has been done previously by programmers so it's non-issue.
Right.
Role-playing games, though,
well, you
that computer is the game master.
The computer is your brain, and so you have to do it yourself. So I watched a video a couple months ago about the Fallout pen, the officially licensed newest Fallout pen and paper RPG, which seems really cool. It has some stuff in it that I think it kind of sucks has never actually been in a Fallout game. Like, you can play as a Mr. Gutsy or Mr. Handy. Well, you can play as that robot,
yeah,
and it can be a Gutsy or a Handy. You can play as a ghoul. You can play as a mutant, the super mutants. Just, like, cool character options that have never been in the games. Kind of a shame. It also has a really robust crafting system that is mostly based on the crafting system from Fallout 4. So, a big list of junk with tables for the crafting materials that you get from disassembling the junk, and then a big list of items and upgrades that you can craft from that stuff. And it's all, like, I would fucking hate it if a player asked me for it, but if I already had that in front of me,
made, yeah,
then, you know, it might not be so bad. It might actually be pretty fun. And also tables for, like, how likely it is to find stuff. You know, big tables to roll on. Like, I loot the room afterwards. Okay, here's some junk. You get some junk. And players get to engage with that system in the pen and paper space because of this robust set of tables that is already in the Game Master's hand. But your point about that computer being the Game Master, if you don't already have that, that's rough.
Yeah.
So,
and it can be rough to make, right? If you're making it from scratch. So balance is an issue when you're doing it yourself, or you got to make it up on the fly.
Yeah.
Right.
Some abundance of resources. That's something that those tables would tell you.
Yeah.
Like, how likely is it that I'm going to get some screws or some tape roll on the table that's already written? Determining that yourself, that's hard work.
It is. So, to make it, well, to help you out, we're going to talk about some things and, like, how to, you know, what things we think are important, right? Mm-hmm. Abundance. Cosmo said abundance. That is a great way to limit crafting. Like, how often are you going to find these components that you need, right? Like, whether they're general components or specific components, how often they show up definitely limits balance, right? Like, if you don't want it to be, if it's the things that they can craft are really powerful, probably should have low abundance, right? You know, they should be scarce.
Yeah, and that scale, I think, is, it's fairly self-explanatory. Utility and value versus abundance. It's, you know, it's one or the other. It's somewhere in the middle if it's, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Right. And you could get some, a little bit of pushback, like, oh, the components were using, like, a base component system, and, like, there's all this junk lying around. Like, this is a post-apocalyptic world, and there's all this extra junk. Right? Okay. So I can't do anything about the abundance, right? Because you're right. There's a lot of junk around. All right. Well, I'm just going to make the cost of crafting higher then, right? Your components do less, right? So you need more of them.
And generally speaking, and we'll talk about this when we talk about, like, our experience with a crafting system that we like and we want, but I would advise generally against that, because that goes back to our last episode about tracking things and our generally negative feelings about keeping track of a lot of different things.
Indeed. Well, we work with what we got.
Yeah. So, yeah. Scarce or the
abundant.
Or abundant. And
right. So
it should either go a long way and be hard to find, or it should be easy to find and you need a lot of them.
Right. And you can further tweak that with like the acquiring of components, right? So like, yeah, sure, there's a lot of junk around, but are you going to spend the time to break it down? Do you have the tools to break it down? Mm-hmm. Right? Or do you got to find stuff already broken down by like looting bodies, checking shops when you go into town, you know, finding caches and opening crates and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're making your own system, you can pretty much just say, all right, all crafting components are lootable. So you gotta find them somewhere specific. You can't just like say, hey, we walked past the forest and so I got a bunch of wood. Mm-hmm. Like, well, no, because you didn't spend time to chop it down. Well, you can find wood by going to your local logger, mm-hmm, and being like, hey, I'll pay you
gold.
20 gold, yeah, for 20 woods.
Yeah. A 1-to-1 exchange rate on everything.
Well,
I recommend that because it's easy.
You know, how much that wood is, like, you know, is 20 woods 3 planks?
Yeah.
Whatever, right?
It's, you know? Yeah, it could be very nebulous as far as,
yeah,
how much material one wood or one is. Rock or one electronics actually is. Mm. But, yeah.
But that's important to think about ahead of time, or at least give yourself space to think about it, because that's where you can really, really easily ruin like everything you try to set up as a game master if like your players can just, you know what? Oh, I have 20 wood, which in fact that means I can build a watchtower.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, I did do that. Shit. Mm.
Now they've just Fortnited a watchtower out of nothing, but they have a watchtower, and that changes.
Mm.
That changes things for this encounter.
Right. But keeping it kind of nebulous is where I would land on a good system, is just one unit. What does that mean? Don't think about it too hard.
Mm.
Yeah, so directly lead in, as I was speaking in terms of the devoured thing, but do we have anything more to say about balance before we move on to the example?
No, I think that's it. You know, it's literally what it says is a balance. If it's, you know, if it's abundant, you should need a lot of it for it to be useful. If it's rare, then, you know, one or two of them can be very useful, and you should weight those considerations
appropriately.
Yeah.
And where to find them, mm-hmm, right?
So, yeah, let's talk about our most recent big campaign, which didn't at first, but quickly featured a crafting system.
I mean, it pretty quickly featured, like, well, I guess it depends on when you say at first, because if we're talking about the Jormungandr,
yeah,
Isles,
it didn't then.
Did, yeah, not, which true. Is where I count the beginning of the campaign.
I mean, it did go through all of that. So, yeah. At first it didn't. Well, I guess. So, basically, as soon as we started to have a base,
yeah,
there was also some resource management and some crafting.
So, I gave my players a base, and because it's cool to improve on base, or just improve anything,
yeah,
any sort of gear, vehicle, base,
mm-hmm,
right? It's got to have some resources and costs and crafting of, like, you know, how do you improve your base? What do you want, right? Like, do you want a nice comfy couch or, like, a good kitchen or whatever, right?
Right.
Anyways, so crafting components. I went with the base general style. So, like, there's mechanical bits, electronic bits, gun parts. I don't know.
Medical supplies.
I would say cobalt did not enter into that. I like centered my adventure around the resource of cobalt. It was a magical resource and kind of like the in-game resource, if, mm-hmm, you will.
We did end up using it to craft stuff.
Craft, yeah.
But at first it wasn't part of that. We needed to collect it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't used for anything. We just needed to collect it for the mission.
So we had a bunch of resources, and there was no clear recipes or menu to, like, choose from. I kind of just left it up to, you know, see what the players are going to bring me and be like, hey, Dane, I would like to do this. I would like to make our base have this. It's like, okay, well, great. I've already thought of that because it requires this many electronics, this many mechanical things, etc. So it was kind of half-baked. Like, I didn't really think about balance when I made it, which did create sort of an issue. But I think we can talk more about the better aspects of it first.
The aspect of it that I liked, and the aspect that I would steal if a crafting system comes up in what I'm currently running, is the limited number of crafting components. The you know, four or five different things. That's it. And I think I would maybe change them up a little bit, but I think what you had worked really well. I think I would do mechanical, medical, no, not even, because I like mechanical, chemical, electronic, maybe just those three. And then, you know, everything is just, oh, you need, you need like four electronic and a mechanical to build this, you know, computer.
Yeah. And those are very general things. So like a mechanical is not like a set of gears.
No,
it can also be a housing for a Game Boy.
Yeah. You would need a little bit of mechanical and some electronics to build a Game Boy. I would guns and weapons that would come out of mechanical. Maybe with some electronic if it was like a laser weapon, and then chemical for, you know, like medical supplies would be part of chemical, but chemical would also factor into you know, if you were trying to like improve your spaceship's engines, well, that'd be some mechanical and some chemical, and just like as few possible resources as possible, and just everything be a, you know, a combination of those things, and more components for the bigger, more complicated the item that you're trying to craft.
What would you do for, like, recipes? Because I think what I did was, I liked what I did because it put it on the players to come up with an idea. But two problems with that. One, the players are like, well, what can we do with this shit? I don't know. There were some good ideas, but it mainly just became a, you know, thing that we were tracking that we weren't using.
Yeah.
And then the other mistake, the other misstep, was having one person who was a specific NPC be like,
facilitate, you know, most of the crafting.
A crafting thing, because it became like, well, let's just go see what they say.
Yeah.
And it's like, well,
fuck.
You guys now, keep you coming to me every day with something.
Now,
right?
Players aren't coming to you. If I were to do it.
So.
Go ahead.
The misstep with the NPC was, made it a specific NPC. But, like, in the Dangerous Spaceman, the mechanic in whatever port we're at, or, like, you know, we can shop around for a better price or whatever, they can. They have, like, a list of things that they could do.
Right.
Right. Is a lot. What I will say about Eland, who's the NPC, is she became somebody you went with like, hey, help us solve a story problem.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't do that for you. You got to do it yourself.
Yeah.
But because, like, they were so, like, they were a main NPC, they were, you know, always around, it became an easy crutch.
Yeah.
So that's what the misstep was. So I think it's a lot easier with, the Dangerous Spaceman, you can avoid that crutch, but still get the benefits of having an NPC who knows how to do stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think what I would also do is I would try and create a recipe list. But I would try and limit that. So like in the Dangerous Basement thing, there's a handful of types of armor. There's four different weapon types. I would say, like, if you're going to make a backup weapon, it is this. And that's just all backup weapons. So, you know, like, if you're going to, you know, take your materials, your raw materials that you got from space mining, and you're like, we want a bazooka because we're going to use it on the next mission. I've got a plan for it. Like, well, that's a heavy weapon. So the required crafting components are listed for heavy weapon. It's, you know, three mechanical, one electronic, one chemical. That's how you get it. Not every item in the game, but every category of item in the game, I would try and come up with a components requirement for that.
Okay, what about items not included in the
set? That's the tricky part. What I think I would do, because I would want to give that, right? I would want you to be able to create that, but you need a way to like measure the utility and the intention. A good example, sort of, that is sort of like the same thing as the magic system in Afterlife, where the results of the spell are spelled out in a number of tables, and as you stack effects on the spell that you're going to cast, the difficulty increases, something like that. But I'm not quite sure how to, because there's so many different axes it could go in when a player is coming up with an item out of nothing.
What about, so another thing that kind of, well, I guess that would be like ship upgrades, but like you guys made several improvements to your base, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a sheet of, you know, things that you could buy for your base, right? Like you have, like there is in Dangerous Spaceman, it's like, oh yeah, you can upgrade the galley. Here mm-hmm. are, you know, that is that price structure.
Yeah.
What about things off book, but like upgrades and stats, right? So like kind of like the sliding scale, like the spell book, or you know, like the spell creation in Afterlife.
Yeah.
But aren't like use things that kind of like, you know, like the sauna, you know, that gives you a stat bonus.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to create a sauna in
Dangerous Spaceman.
Would you would use the sliding scale kind of, you know, if you want a +4, here's your recipe, right? And then like, you know,
yeah, something like that. And yeah, I think that would be the thing to start with, like the effects. Is it going to give you a plus to an attribute, or dice? I think that'd maybe be a good currency to trade in. Like if you say you guys, you know, you wanted like a meditation room on your spaceship for the space weirdos, for the mm-hmm. psychic character, right? And it was going to help them do their psychic powers. If they use it, you get, I don't know, you get a D10 that you can add to any dice roll at any time. That's cool. It's a currency that you can get from it, and it would, the, you know, the better version of it would cost more in crafting components and net you a higher, you'd get a higher dice bonus out of it. Or, there'd also be the scale of buffs to attributes, like the sauna in the Devoured campaign, where we got a specific attribute bonus if we sauna'd for a little while. How much of a plus, how good it is, increases the more...
I also just want to put it on the record, because I don't understand why I got so much shit for, like, yes, the sauna took a lot of time. You were not in the sauna 100% of the time. You sauna, like, you have to, like, go in there with your towel, you gotta get out, you gotta shower, you gotta put all your gear back on.
It's a whole thing, even if you only spend 20 minutes in
right?
there.
It's not 3 hours in the fucking sauna and then you cook yourself. Anyways. I had to get that off, because even though I said it several times, nobody ever fucking picked up on it.
I think we're...
Question about components and where to find them. So I had like a income system. Right, because like there's this big base and the players had kind of set themselves up as leaders of the resistance, to put it in simple terms.
With relationships with other factions.
Too far into the weeds. So there was a lot of NPCs doing their stuff and like bringing gear back to the villa, right? To have an income of resources. How did that work first?
I think conceptually it was really great. In practice, it meant we spent a lot of time at the beginning of a lot of sessions, rolling for income and expenditure. You're specifically talking about like the relationship with other...
I was just talking about the income system.
The rolling for income versus expenditure. I mean, the only thing is I felt like it took a long time at the beginning of sessions to go through. But then when I'm thinking about a solution for that, I'm like, what do I like? Do I write something? Do I write a little table, or even like a, set up something in an Excel spreadsheet to do it for me? And if I'm having a computer do it for me, then I could just be making it up. I'm not sure.
So the idea behind that was, one, reminding everybody that these resources are available and a thing.
And they exist, and we need to think about them.
It became a lot less important as the system was not engaged in, and I kind of changed up how I was running sessions, because it started as like a big sandbox thing, and then it progressed into not a sandbox thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in a sandbox scenario, if you have a crafting system, there's got to be some sort of income greater than, I loot the body and I find 2 electronics on the body. It's like, great, I need 50 of these fuckers, right? It's not going to get you anywhere.
Right.
So there needs to be some sort of income. But if you're not doing a sandbox and you're kind of doing a targeted... how we usually do sessions where it's like, I have the mission for you. Here's the mission. Mm-hmm. Do the mission. It's not like opening up with, well, what do you guys want to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to be like, okay, successful mission. So in addition to clearing out the monster den on Venus,
mm-hmm.
right, there was also you know, there was this camp that had gotten eaten by the monsters and you guys scavenged that. So, like, you got paid and you got a little bonus of, like, you know, kept what you found. Here's a treasure chest of, you know, components.
Yeah.
Rather than I loot the body or, you know, I... You know what? This mission's all about breaking down this old miner's camp for resources. Yeah, those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we'll see how this campaign progresses. But after I kind of see how it's going, what I would prefer to do is to lean into that more narrative method and be like, okay, this is the kind of mission that you did, and yeah, out of it, this is what, you know, as opposed to a, you know, a big sandbox that I have to do stuff to make feel like a lot of things are interacting with each other realistically. And yeah, I would my hope would be to avoid that and to just reward you appropriately narratively for the things that you do in the places that you go, as opposed to, yeah, having categories of things that are going up and down by.
It sounds like, though, like the crafting system in Dangerous Spaceman setting, it can just be solved by, like, money and economy.
I think, right? So. And there's also a sci-fi thing where, like, you guys could just, you have a 3D fabricator on your vessel, and instead of any sort of crafting system, it's like, well, a thing costs this much, and instead of paying, you know, instead of paying 100 credits for a gun from a guy at a store, you spent 100 credits in 3D printing filament, and now you have a gun. And it's just credits, and honestly, that's probably the way I'm going to go. Unless someone comes to me and is like, I really want to do this, and I kind of have an idea for it.
Yeah, because I kind of use the crafting system in Devoured as a substitute, right? Because it was an afterlife, and, like, you guys were the power in the region. There was not a lot of trading because you guys kind of pissed off the LSR pretty fucking quick. You know, the idea was it would be a much more give and take relationship, but you guys kind of went down the path of violence, which is, you know, a reasonable path. But in a, you know, non post-apocalyptic wasteland, you can just buy stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if crafting is more expensive than buying it, then, you know, why are you tracking it?
Right. And I think, yeah, that speaks to, you know, the place that a crafting system would have in this. And I, you know, honestly don't think, like, you wouldn't tack really any sort of crafting system onto another game system, like, you know, Call of Cthulhu or Delta Green. Because you guys are investigators, and, you know, this thing, and you're not going to be, you know, you don't craft your, you know, your cool hat or your cool leather jacket or a new pistol. You just, you buy it. You buy it from the store.
Or pay the iron price for it.
Yeah, take it from the dead. And there'll be plenty of that, I hope, as well. Yeah, honestly, that's kind of what I'm leaning towards. Anyway, should we recap our...
On that point, so a point that came up in the conversation that we didn't have, or that belongs earlier in the episode, but I didn't think of it until now. The caveat for having a crafting system it doesn't belong everywhere and in every system, mm-hmm. especially in a like real or not real, a more thriving economy. Crafting systems are really apt or really meant for, I'm just going to go for it, really meant for like survival in the wilderness on your own, you know, make what you can out of what you can find.
Yeah.
Right? If you are doing a metropolitan kind of, you know, sessions or campaigns or adventures, I feel like there's no need for a crafting system.
It stops mattering. And in the Dangerous Spaceman, like I see a place where you could craft if you were doing, you know, like a survival trek through the jungles of Venus and you didn't have access to your ship, well, then you're going to have to do a little bit of crafting for, like, your shelters at night. And, you know, maybe even you hunt a little bit and you, you know, you harvest some animals and use their skins or bone for stuff. But I still think there's not really a place for even a rudimentary crafting system. There's just narrative at that point. You just, you know, like I say, okay, yeah, you know, you shot this dinosaur, so you have some horn that you can use for stuff, and you have some skin, and now you're, you all are able to make, like, you know, good rain ponchos, so that, which was a problem last session, is not a problem anymore, type of thing.
Yeah. There might be a little player pushback, because, like, oh, well, like, you know, I want to do it myself. I want to roll for it. I don't have any money. I'm poor, but I want to try my luck at the dice. I mean, as a game master, I would be like, okay, you can try.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to fuck with, oh, well, like, you need the tanning equipment and, like, the... how many units of dino skin do you have?
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, if you want to make it a roll, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you ruined the dino skin.
Yeah.
You should have paid the 50 credits.
Right.
You should have waited till you had 50 credits if you didn't have 50 credits.
But that's still not implementing a crafting system. I'll give you a chance to do a crafting action.
Right, yeah. So you don't need a crafting system to have that.
Yeah. To do, right. to it try just, a crafting action.
It can be based in, you know, the normal economy with money.
Money. All right. Well,
we
talked a lot about it. So, talked about a good crafting system. It involves resources. We talked about two different ways resources can be categorized. The utility of the items to be crafted. We talked about the purpose of a crafting system. You upgrade stuff. You unlock new places. You solve specific problems, or sometimes it is a specific story thing. All of this is in service to if players want it. If players are, you know, if this is something players are going to get something out of, then, yeah, there is purpose to having a crafting system. We talked about keeping track of the components and resources. We talked about the things that you need in order to attempt some crafting.
When the roll comes into play.
Yeah, when it's appropriate to ask for the roll. The idea that if you have all the stuff and the time, then maybe there's no need for a roll. But if you don't have one of the things, that's an appropriate time to roll for it. And then we talked about balancing the abundance with the usefulness and keeping track of that. And then we waxed for a while about our experience with crafting and just kind of thought about how we'd use it in the future. So if you stuck with us this long, head on over to 2hgm.com. Where you can see some other role-playing stuff that we've done, including Afterlife, which we mentioned, our original post-apocalyptic fantasy role-playing system and setting
available, which does on not have RPG. A crafting system.
No, it does not.
In the base rule set.
No, you'll have to make one up or get a different one.
Or wait for a supplementary
product
module.
There's also our Patreon on the website. Check that out. Our email is there as well if you want to just reach out to us directly. But if you join the Patreon, you get to hang out with us on Discord. Some casual role-playing fun on the Discord, as well as occasional live events. I think that about do it. Yeah. Thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pond Hill is Finest as the intro and outro to our show.
And if you've stuck with us just a bit longer, then you will know there is a secret code going around that gets you a prize. Today's episode, the secret number is 0. I will say that again, 0. Write that down on a sticky note. Good to see ya. See you next time. Etc., etc. Roll the clip.